Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. With me today, I have Tanya Sava. Tanya's a wellness coach and author and speaker who is passionate about empowering mothers to reconnect with the essence of their true self and free any self-limiting beliefs and perceived barriers, and importantly, so that they can live a life full of abundance and joy. Tanya is a single mother to her daughter Mackenzie. And Mackenzie is blind, autistic, and developmentally delayed. Now, previously an occupational therapist, Tanya took six months off and on a caravanning road trip with her daughter to redefine who she is and connect with her passions. Tanya runs weekend retreats now for special needs mothers that focus on mindfulness, self-care, and living your best life. And she's just published her first children's book, The Adventures of Kenzie Moo. And it's a story about adversity, diversity, and choosing to see the wonder of in life, even when you don't have a vision. Welcome, Tanya. I'm so looking forward to this conversation this morning. It's just going to be extremely interesting and finding out about you and Mackenzie and what you do and how you help mothers. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Janine. It's a pleasure to be here.
With Mackenzie with her special needs, and that's something that that must have taken you by surprise. And, you know, that when that first occurred, when she was born like that, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That, yeah. So, you know, that's a reaction from any mum that is realizing that your life's going to be a little bit different than you thought it would be.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think any parent can ever be prepared to hear that news. I guess in some way, fortunately and unfortunately, my elder sister her firstborn son has cerebral palsy. So coming into that sort of tragic situation didn't seem unfamiliar to me, which in a really strange way, it just sort of felt like, I don't know, it almost sort of felt like that was normal, because the firstborn child into our family of the next generation already had challenges, and then came along Mackenzie with, different but similar situation in being given some really tragic news. But You can't ever be prepared for that, and you certainly can't ever imagine that having something like that would transform your life in a really special way.
Yes, and I imagine there would be ways to respond to it and ways to respond to it, and that if it happens, you've only got it really one choice, haven't you? You've just got to respond to it in a positive way and find what you can do to have the best life you can have, and your daughter has the best life that she has as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was definitely my way of responding, was to just go, okay, you've given me this news, I'm going to prove you wrong. Because I was told Mackenzie would never speak, she would unlikely ever walk, she definitely wouldn't be able to see, that she would rely on medications for the rest of her life. Like, we were told some really sort of harrowing things, and when you've got this tiny newborn baby, it's basically a blank canvas. And I, as an occupational therapist, I've spent 17 years working in neurological rehabilitation for people with severe injuries. So I knew I had the ability to make her outcomes different to what they were telling me. And I just went into full work mode and just gave her every opportunity. We literally have done therapy every single day since the day she was born. She's nearly 10 now. It was all about how can I give her the best opportunity. And, you know, people respond differently. Her dad responded in a very different way to me and retreated from the experience because he just didn't know how else to deal with that news. And 12 months later, I became a single parent. So, it's been an exciting and really challenging and exhausting and wonderful experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world, because Mackenzie has gotten me to this place where I'm now speaking with you as a coach and a writer, and all the things that I'm doing are aligned with my passions, all based on a lot of it based on her need, actually. So it's been a really wonderful journey.
And she was very blessed to be born to a trained mum as well.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage for her, isn't it? That, you know,
absolutely.
Although, you know, you know that mums and dads go out and find the information that they need and work with it, but you've had it there at your fingertips to be able to then apply it into your own personal situation, which is very special
definitely.
Too.
It was, and I'd never dealt with somebody that was blind. I wasn't a pediatric therapist. I didn't work with children. So there was still lots and lots of things for me to learn. But I had the foundation of knowledge in terms of neuroplasticity and understanding that I could make her brain different to what they were telling me it was going to be. So it just gave me this kind of like the little bird on my shoulder that was like, yeah, we can make a difference here and we can change this, and whatever's the outcome will be, it will be. I knew right from the get-go that no matter how hard I worked, whatever her outcomes would be were set. But I believed I could be different, and, you know, lucky for her, she had a mum that was willing to give it a red hot crack, and that I had knowledge that would support her development over time. And, you know, but I think I'm the one that's learnt the most through this process more than her.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that growth that we have. So that must have really created some very special beliefs for you along the way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're thrown into a situation that's really adverse and quite traumatic, I don't think all adversity needs to be trauma, but when you're told your child is never going to see, may never walk, talk, eat, you know, if you don't give her this drug, she will die. That's traumatic news. But it's been such a special and such a unique experience that has really encouraged my growth beyond anything I could have ever have hoped for as a parent. I think we all change when we have children, but it really makes you face things that you never in your wildest dreams ever hoped to face. There's nowhere to run and hide. You know, when you're faced with news like that, you have to step up and you have to step in, and it really forces you to face the stuff that you don't want to face. And on the other side of that is this beautiful journey and life and experience, and, you know, you get to meet wonderful people and just be really grateful for what we do have. It sort of reminds you of what's really important.
Yeah, and now you've got the opportunity to be changing lives as well. So not just Mackenzie's, but other people because of your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked as an occupational therapist, and when I became a single parent, and I worked part-time at a children's hospital, which I had never done before. I never had an interest in pediatrics, but, you know, I had my own child now, and I just saw the power in being an occupational therapist and being the provider and the service provider and the person talking to the parent, but also knowing what it felt like to be the parent. Mm. You know, I was standing in this hospital speaking to these families and thinking, I totally understand how you feel, and I know what you're going through because I've been through that as well. And the change in the dynamics of that relationship when the parents knew that I had a child with special needs was so profound. That was sort of the real catalyst for me going, I have a huge skill set here, but also the empathy that I had for these families was so profound. And it was that moment was the little aha moment for me that I had something to offer that was quite unique, because I had never met a therapist that had a child with special needs before. And so it gave me the drive to want to make a difference for these families.
And that level of connection is so important, because that people, you know, will feel that, you know how I'm feeling because you're going through things, because, you know, and that creates your why story then, doesn't it? Because that sort of, there's a whole lot of stuff involved. It's not just the emotional component of, you know, having a special needs child. There's a lot of other things that you need to be aware of, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it that continued on through my journey, you know, as Mackenzie grew and her development changed, and, you know, we'd sort of step into new phases each time. Every time that's happened, I've had more experience to be able to then pass on. And I know our children are so well supported. We are so fortunate to live in Australia and have an exceptional healthcare system and funding available and people out there who are willing to support. And I made the decision to leave that role and to then focus on supporting the families, because even as a therapist, while I was treating the children, I was actually really treating the parents, because they're the ones that need to do the work to support the children to grow and to change and to develop. And that's where I took a back step from my occupational therapy role and started looking at coaching and mindfulness, and, you know, went and did my yoga teacher training and started looking at different ways to support these families that was not from a medical model, because it's not the be all and end all, and it's all the work that happens at home that is the biggest driving force for changes in these children. So I thought, if I can support these incredible parents who are doing the best they can and give them some tools to look after themselves first as a priority, because when you're a parent, we come second. Our children are our number one. But in that process for me, I became so burnt out and completely lost my sense of self, because my whole life revolved around my daughter. And it was this sort of coming to this space of being at rock bottom and thinking, well, who the hell am I if not for her? Who am I? What is my role now? What do I want from life? What makes me happy? Because all I'd done for 5, 6, 7 years was try to keep my child alive and thriving. And when I realized that I had to be number one for a little while, if not for the rest of my life, that I had to be priority so that I could keep giving and keep supporting and keep encouraging Mackenzie to be a social, interactive little person that can continue her life and thrive and flourish and become an independent young adult, I had to be looking after myself first. So
it was an interesting dynamic
for me.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've discussed with other guests on the podcast, and not necessarily people with special needs children, but all of that time to be able to support others the best that we can, we need to place ourselves number one.
Yes.
Because if we're not emotionally well, physically well, mentally, have a good mental health, we're not able to assist the others to the best of our ability.
No.
So we're letting people down if we don't put ourselves number one. And it's a really hard mindset for people to get around, isn't it?
It's really difficult, yeah. And through retreats and my coaching, it's such a long process. Like, it took me 7 years to go, oh, this is not going to work long term, because I'm malnourished, I'm exhausted, I'm not sleeping, I'm sleep deprived, I'm unhappy. And if all of those things are compounding, and I think mental health is very, very prevalent in, well, in society in general, but especially when you've compounded with the challenge of raising children with really often complex needs.
There's other things that build on that, isn't there? Especially with special needs, it's that social isolation. Mm. That financially, I imagine it's a big burden as well, as well as, you know, that emotional and physical, just trying to get enough sleep. And then as the child grows, especially being physically able to cope with their growth as well, there's just so much to it that you don't think of unless you're in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And divorce rates are higher than in just a mainstream society for people who have children with additional needs. So then you have the added social pressures of solo parenting, like for myself. And it's challenging. Parenting alone is challenging when you throw in the additions of having needs above and beyond that of just children in general society today. It's compounding, and mental health, chronic illness as well as mental health, chronic mental health challenges come up in terms of depression and anxiety. Suicidal ideation is huge. I've had many conversations with many parents who are not only suicidal about themselves, but they then think, well, if I kill myself, who's going to look after my children? So maybe I have to take them with me. Like, it's really significant and really severe. And it's only because we get to the point where we don't see a way out. My whole story is sort of around this idea of darkness and light. And I use Mackenzie's analogy of her being complete darkness as she's completely blind, but she has this overwhelming joy. And that I look at her and I think, if she can literally live in darkness, but her underlying expression is joy, then I don't have an excuse but to choose that too, because my life is very different to hers. And I have all of my faculties and I can see and I can move well. I can do anything I want. I almost feel like I don't have a right to choose to be sad. You know, emotion will comes and goes, but that my underlying choice is to be happy. And it's taken a long time to get to that point that it's a choice for me. And my role now is really in really trying to empower people to see that that is a choice for them, and that you can keep coming back to the essence of yourself, which is one of love and contentment and peace and ease, even though all of this stuff is happening around you.
And that's a big step.
Massive.
Well done with that, because it could just feel so overwhelming so much of the time, and especially if you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it is. And I certainly don't want to take away from that experience, because I've sort of come out of the thick of that. But, you know, I'm going through some really significant challenges with Mackenzie right now. It's not that I'm now, you know, have this iron steel around me and I'm not going to be impacted by things that happen. I absolutely am. But it's about just reconnecting and coming back and recognizing when things are starting to get out of hand, and when you're not coping, and when things are really challenging, and when you need to call on other people for help. Because I think mothers in general, we have this martyr hat on that says, you've got to go, and we don't have time, and we have to push, and we have to keep going, keep everything in balance, because if it's not in balance, it's all going to fall apart. But it's just like, can we, you know, get rid of the things that are not serving us, pull back in the things that we need to help us, and recognizing that things are falling apart and that they are challenging, and that it's okay to stop and take a moment to cry and to fall apart, and then that you can just pick yourself back up and keep going again.
Yes, and knowing that they can be moments, and that's acceptable, as opposed to being in that space all the time. And calling on others is such a vital part of it as well. You know, some people are fortunate they've got family around them who automatically step in and take over, but others may need to be open and ask others for help.
Yeah, and it's really
you can't
difficult.
Do it yourself.
No, you can't. And I think it's one of the biggest things that I see coming up with the women that I'm working with is this, and they're coming up because that was my issue as well. I know that we mirror each other, and I can see when I carry that behavior as well. And for me personally, I hold a lot of guilt. It comes down to this underlying feeling of guilt when I ask for help. And I think that stems from, you know, when Mackenzie's father and I separated, we separated because I was calling on him and asking for his help, and he would say no. And so I think I then carried into my ongoing relationship with Mackenzie and the people around me, well, if I ask for help, I'm going to be told no, so I just won't ask for help. And if I don't ask for help, I can do it myself, and at least I know it's done well, and nothing's going to go wrong, and everything's going to be fine. but of course, it's not. You know, you can't carry that with you, because it is a burden. It's a burden, and you can't. And we cannot be expected to do everything for ourselves. And that comes down to any relationship, whether that's personal with your husband, your children, your family, your parents, your business. It's not possible to do this yourself. And we're not meant to. You know, hundreds of years ago, we lived in communities, and still in native communities, they are parents, cousins, they all are involved in raising children and building life and growing food and harvesting and cooking. And there's this beautiful sense of community. And in today's society, we feel like we have to do it ourselves. And it's actually just causing strife everywhere, because we can't do it ourselves. And then we feel guilty that we can't. We start to question our abilities and our, you know, we start to wonder, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this myself? We're not meant to do this by ourselves. We're not.
No. And it's not just, you know, the journey you're on. It's, and because a lot of the people listening are in business for themselves, yes, as well, it's building a small business and not asking for help is dumb as well, yes, isn't it? You know? Yeah. And we're supposed, absolutely, to know how to be the best person to do social media and, mm-hmm, also make sales calls and do our accounting and actually do be a good maybe massage therapist or coach or,
yeah,
whatever as well. Yeah, as well.
Absolutely. I think small business is really challenging, and you do have to kind of be the jack of all trades. And I was fortunate enough to watch my sister go into her small business before me. She's been a great inspiration for me. She had the child with special needs first, and I followed suit, and then she did the small business thing and I followed suit. And her favorite word is outsource. She just outsources everything. She's like, if I don't have to do it, I don't. And it was about building community and building this beautiful network that, you know, we can't be everything all the time. And if we can rely on somebody else to do something that we're not exceptional at, because you need to be exceptional at your role and just focus on the things that you are really good at and do that really well, then it just takes some of the pressure off. And I think community and networking is extremely important, especially in business. But it also sort of transcends in family life as well. You know, this sort of mirror each other. It's like running along on parallel tracks. If you're drowning in one area, you're going to be drowning somewhere else.
I totally agree. And I run mastermind breakfasts and lunches for women, and they're an incredible place for people to have, not just to learn whatever the topic is of discussion is, but to also share those ideas and the problems and issues that they're having, and then be able to have other people help them with. We can't think of everything ourselves as well, you know, and the breakthroughs and the ideas that people come up with, I just find it such a joy to work with these people, because they all contribute to each other so much and to myself as well.
Absolutely. And
my way of learning too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you get, I think women especially, because we're such a nurturing and giving and selfless people, that we just want others to succeed. Hopefully we're connecting with people that want to raise us up. And by doing that, you know, it's as simple as having a conversation. And I think one thing that I find for myself is when I get into those networks, it'll just be a random conversation with someone that I've never met before that will say the thing that I'd been thinking about 2 days before that I needed. And I'm like, oh, great. I was thinking about that. I need you. Can you do this for me? And it just takes some of the onus and the pressure, so much pressure, to succeed and to build, especially in small business, to build and to be successful in what you're doing. And especially if there's financial pressure to do so, you know, I think when people take a really brave to leave the security of something that was, you know, doing well for themselves but wasn't aligned with the thing that brought them joy, and step in and completely let go of that and move into building a small business that is, there's the financial pressure to, I've got to get people in, I've got to have clients, I've got to be selling, I've got to be doing this so that I can pay my bills. But when you can alleviate some of that pressure and build yourself a network, we all want to help. We all want to see each other succeed, and we're all here to do that for each other. And we all have so many unique talents and skill sets that we can offer each other.
And that's part of that staying, you know, within what you're doing, so your focus isn't on the dollar. I mean, that's the important part of business, but the dollar comes when you focus on what you do well and how you do it, and being good at that. But it's also important, especially when you're in your own business, to keep returning to your why. If why is it there? To help others, to support others, to, you know, to build that in self-belief yourself, whatever that why is, that is going to keep you going, isn't it, in business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it takes a huge commitment and sometimes a lot of sacrifice, but I really believe when you are truly aligned with that why, and I think it's really important. I think every human's purpose is to serve and support and love. Like, they're basically the fundamental foundations of why we're here. It's for those reasons. And I was really lucky that I got a little tiny person named Mackenzie that came into my life that I didn't have a choice but to serve and to honor and to support and to love. And it, that was sort of a catalyst for me in really aligning with my purpose and my passions. And when you truly understand what it is that makes you happy, what is it that brings you joy in this sense of contentment, and it doesn't have to be like overwhelming happiness. I think happiness and joy are very different things, but when you're aligned with joy at the foundation of the essence of who we are, is to just be the sense of peacefulness and ease and calm and contentment through life, and that your passions are aligned with that. When you know what they are and you start aligning your work with those things, money will come. It has to, because one, if you're serving, if you're living a life that's free of dis-ease, and I mean, I have a really complex child who lives with challenge every day of her life, but we have this sense of the dis-ease is gone from that, because we are completely accepting of the situation, and I carry that into my coaching and into my work. And yeah, I think Money will come. Money will come when you are aligned with the things that bring you joy, and that if it's got the right intention behind it, the money has to flow. I think that's just a universal law for me.
Yeah, and look, I totally agree. And you know, people say things happen at the right time. You're in the right place with the right things happening, and what we're meant to learn from that. And sometimes it's just a throwaway line, but other times, you know, when you're a little bit more in tune, you actually go looking for this. Okay, I'm here at this particular moment in time. What am I doing? What am I learning? And how can I go with the flow? Because that's the thing that causes the most stress in people's lives, isn't it? Where they really want to challenge what's happening to them rather than just going, finding the purpose, the story, the why behind it, and moving in a direction that's not, but are not blocked, any direction. But it may not be the right one in the first instance, but at least it's not one that's necessarily hitting a stone wall and blocked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think resistance is a huge issue, and I work with that a lot with my moms, especially because I think as a special needs parent, you don't have any choice but to accept what's going on, because you can't change it. It is what it is. And for me personally, I didn't know why I had this little person that was blind, developmental delayed, and she was fed through a tube for 5 years straight into her stomach. Like, I didn't understand at the time what that was all for, but I didn't have a choice but to accept it. I just had to sort of wipe my hands and go, okay, this is it. Let's go. Let's just do what we have to do. And it was literally just taking it day by day by day by day. And then over time, I'd returned to quite a lot of study over the last sort of 8 years. And at the time I was sort of going, I don't know why I'm doing all this study. At some point it's all going to make sense to me. I'm just doing it now because it feels good. And it's just something that I feel aligned with, and it's bringing me joy. That's basically what it come down to. And then all of a sudden I created these retreats for mums with special needs. And I went, oh, that's what it was all for. So that I can coach and massage and teach yoga and do mindfulness training and talk about nutrition and educate on special needs parenting, like all the things that I'd done over the 8 years of, or you know, so of my life over the last sort of 8 to 10 years, all came to a head when I created these retreats. And it was this big aha moment. And I think the reason why it sort of came with this sense of ease was because I just kept going with the flow. You know, if something came up, I just acknowledged it, accepted it, and would keep moving forward. And I would always make a choice, which one feels right, which one doesn't. That one feels right, I'm going to do that now. Don't know why, but I'm going to do it anyway. And just sort of almost like a boat going down a river, just allowing yourself to go in this sense of freedom and flowing, and just acknowledging when things come up, letting them go when they're ready to go, and just sort of kept doing this sense of, you know, peaceful, sometimes challenging, flow down the river until I got to where I wanted to be, and didn't know 8 years ago that's where I wanted to be. But I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, it's really
and we
beautiful.
Don't, and we don't know where the future is going to lead us, do we? And that's the thing, is that It's that continual, and I'm very much like you. I just go, oh, that looks interesting. I'll go do that now.
Yes.
Or, you know, I need to, if I want to learn that, how will that help? And of course now, because, you know, I've been coaching now for 20 years in sales and training, but it's that I can also do the social media to a degree, you know, I've got the podcast and doing that and, you know, a whole lot of different components of what I do. And my expertise is in sales and presenting, but the other things are all little things around it that all support it all the time. And it makes what you do easy then, because you get more skills than just your base of what you're trained as a massage therapist, for example. But because you've got all of those other skills, you're thinking differently and you can offer more.
Absolutely. And, you know, it wasn't necessary. I mean, well, I guess it was in the end. It was necessary for me to do all of that study and to be highly skilled in health, particularly health and wellness. And but I didn't do it to make money. I did it because I just loved it. I love learning. I love learning about the body. I love understanding psychology. I love supporting. I love serving. That's all it came down to. And, yeah, I think when you continue to just allow yourself to flow and to move through and to just go and do the things that you've got a calling in, that, you know, it's a gut instinct. Like I literally have a physical sensation in my belly and I can ask myself, is it this or this? And I'll get a physical, like a visceral reaction to that thought. And that comes down to having really strong mindfulness and meditation practice where I can, and my yoga as well, where I have developed a really strong relationship with my body, and I really believe our bodies hold all the information we're seeking. And I think we're so conditioned to looking outside or looking for external outcomes and pleasures, sometimes related to finances, sometimes other things that, you know, could be success or fame, whatever it might be. But when you get rid of all of that stuff and you come back to yourself and you ask yourself, you will know the information. You might necessarily know why, or you won't know the ultimate outcome. So for me, I didn't know I would be coaching special needs mums and that would be my business. But I just knew the elements of that in terms of service and empathy and compassion and understanding and wanting to help make a difference in other people's lives. So
And that's really important. I'm very much the same, Tanya, that if something feels right, then do it. And sometimes it's just some things. Look, I'm one of these people, I'll turn up to the opening of an envelope, you know. I don't even know half the things I go to and why, but it just felt good at the time. I think that's good. I'll go along. And without fail, I'll meet somebody that'll go, you know, I need your service or how I can help them or something, you know. So, but occasionally you go, oh, no, you don't need to do that. And for me, that's big because I tend to do most things. But you just go, oh, no, that's not going to work. I don't need to put myself out for that. And you do. I've gone past it and go, no, this is going to be something that I should do. And it is obviously not the right thing to do at the time. So, yeah, you feel it in the gut, don't you?
Mm, yeah, definitely. I think we need to give ourselves more credit and start trusting ourselves more. I think the issue comes down to a lack of self-trust and limiting beliefs. And, you know, some of that could be carried from childhood experiences or adverse experiences happening in childhood or, you know, trauma as an adult, or, you know, we carry a lot of quirky and unnecessary traits, unfortunately, but hopefully our journey is to just gain a better understanding of those things. And when you keep coming back to you and start taking responsibility for yourself and really tuning into the physical sensations in the body, like our body tells us so much information. It's an incredible machine. We're so lucky. And I just want people to have a better relationship with themselves, with their body as well as their mind, so that we can really start to understand and believe that we have the potential to create change and the life that we want for ourselves.
Mm, and that's an important part, is that belief that change. That's two of my big things, and you've covered that as well, that you actually have a choice. Mm. And lots of people don't know that they have a choice. So I imagine when you're coaching, sharing that with people, and that would be a big aha moment with them, is that they have a choice.
Yeah, it is it's a really challenging one to break through, and I'm sure you'd probably experience that as well. And I think the thing that I find is that it's a lot of the people who are adamant that they do not have a choice, that they just cannot see that they have a choice, they're so consumed by fear. It's this it's this fear of taking responsibility and fear of stepping in. And when they start to understand that, it'll show up in other ways in their life, and they'll be like, oh, actually, I think that's kind of what Tan's talking about, you know, and they start to see that fear showing up in other areas, and then going, well, actually, I have a choice now, right now. So if I have a choice in this little part of my life, then maybe she's right. Maybe I do have a choice. And some people, I can't break down those barriers because they're so embedded in their disposition that they just cannot see the light. And but that's also their journey as well, you know, going back to sort of making those choices and going along and to things that just feel right. Sometimes you go along and there was no point or purpose, and it's just like, okay, that's okay too. That was just my journey to come along here and realize that was unnecessary use of my time. And that's all part of the journey.
And look, no, and it's part of it, isn't it? I've had some, when I first started coaching 20 years ago, I had a couple of difficult clients that were at my first presentation that were thrown up at me, and I'm thank you for that, because it was I was feeling pretty cocky at the time. And the universe presented me with an opportunity to learn a different way. So
yes.
And it was just brilliant, because I have now great anecdotes to share. So everyone knows that, yeah, it's not going to be perfect.
No, it's not perfect. I think that's part of the other big part of the problem, is that we strive for perfectionism, but it doesn't exist. Or what exists is fulfillment and acceptance and joy, and with the imperfections. You know, my idea of perfect as a parent and as a family was not to be a single mom with a child who can't see, who can't run, you know, who has some incredible talents but also some very quirky needs. And that was not my idea of perfect, but it is the perfect that I needed. It is my perfect, because it has allowed me to truly align with who I want to be and what I want to offer the world. And none of that would have happened if I had my idea of perfect before I had become a parent. None of this would have happened. None of this would have been as it is.
Mm. It's a bit like that movie Sliding Doors, isn't it? You don't know. And, you know, and what you're doing is, in the coaching you're doing, is so unique as well. And as we said before, because you've been there, you walk in people's shoes. But I suppose that brings that authenticity to what you're doing as well, and people will connect with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, for a long time, I would say to myself, you know, they're not going to be ready for you, or they're not going to be able to afford one-on-one coaching, or they're not going to be able to afford to come to retreats, or they're not going to have the time to do this, because these are all limiting factors when you are, one, a parent, and two, a parent to child with special needs, and then compound that, some of them are single parents as well. But and so for a long time, I shied away from that niche and from that sort of really unique market of being a mother to a child with special needs, because I just had some limiting beliefs around their potential to reach my services and for me to deliver what they needed. And when I addressed that and recognized that was what was going on for myself, and I know that there is a market for it, because I was one of them. And if someone like me was available when I was where I was at, I would have put everything into making sure that I had access to that support. And, you know, my retreats are really transformative weekends, and A lot of the time I feel like it's not even me that's doing the transformation. It's just the support they're getting from each other. It's just that I've created a space for these women to come together and talk and collaborate and meet and share and cry, and that they know that the other women around them know exactly what they're talking about and they know exactly how they're feeling. And so, yeah, I think coming into this business for myself, it took me a long time to really believe that I could do this and that it was necessary. And that was just some of my own demons that I had to battle to come to a better understanding of why I was telling myself it wouldn't work, and trust that it would. And of course it has, because I just kept doing it, even though I was fearful and finances were an issue at the beginning. And I just kept going because I truly believed that it was possible and that I could make a difference. And so everything else just kind of eventually fell into place.
And that sort of thinking and beliefs and fear and hesitation is in most women when they're stepping into a business.
Definitely.
It's something that we, you know, that belief, am I good enough? Will people see that I can offer something of value to them? And it's that questioning of that within ourselves. But we all have so many hidden talents and skills that others don't have, and we don't realize that what we can do easily that others can't do, and that there's a capacity to share that and to make it into a business.
Absolutely. And I think as more entrepreneurial women are coming out of the woodworks and sort of really starting to connect with their why and start building a business out of that, it's easy to go, oh, somebody else over there doing that. Am I going to be good enough, or can I compete? And for me, I definitely thought I was the only special needs mother out there coaching special needs mothers. And of course, when I had a little bit of ego around that, like, oh gosh, this is going to be incredible, there's nobody else out there doing this, I found like four of them in the 1 week. I was like, oh crap, I'm not the only one doing this. And there was that straight away, it was fear, like, oh my gosh, who are they? Who are these women? Who are they working with? What are they offering? And for a little while, got caught in the trap of scoping out who they are and what they were doing and trying to be better and be bigger. But I didn't need to do any of that. I just needed to be truly aligned with who I am and be authentic in myself, not conditioned by somebody else's, you know, already potentially thriving or growing business, and just keep coming back to who I am and what is it that you want to offer. It doesn't matter if it looks the same as theirs. They're not the same. Their child's condition is not the same as mine. Their challenges are not the same as mine. We're so different. And even though it looks like on the outside that we're offering a similar service, and we may be, people will come to us because of us and not because of anything else. And I think when we're being true and really organic and really aligned with ourself and what it is that we want to offer and why we're doing it, that the right people will find us.
Absolutely. And this is something that people get hung up on, this competition thing. And that's one of the things that I, you know, talk to people about all the time, is they aren't you. And that's, you know, what makes you unique, and figuring out that, and that, as you said, people will come to you and connect with you because it feels right for them to do so. Yeah. And you can offer them what they need. But this is something that does hold people back in all types of business, is that fear of that they, you know, someone will be better than that they are, and it's just doing the same thing as others. And it's never the same thing as others, because we all do something very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it looks similar, you know, it's just about truly aligning with yourself and not. I mean, it's so hard, and so I'm say this, you know, with the flick of my tongue, I don't compare yourself to others. I did to the point where, you know, I had my logo being designed, and she came back to me and said, I'm thinking about putting in a feather and this other special needs coaching mother that I was aware of, her logo had a feather, and I was like, no, you can't do a feather. You've got to do something different. She was like, no, trust me. And of course it came back, and yeah, it's a feather. It doesn't look like a feather. It's completely different to this other feather of this other woman, you know. And it was just a really interesting time for me to watch myself and how I responded and reacted in that experience. One, from recognizing that there were other people out there in my, you know, really super special niche that were doing what I was doing, and it was okay. And actually it's just been really healthy. And of course I've connected with these incredible women, and we've co-written an article together, and we're connecting on a level of friendship and support rather than comparison and competition, because we all know that we all have something so special and different to offer each other. And that's where the magic starts to happen, when we sort of get over ourselves and don't compare and actually just reach out and connect, that we have some really beautiful things out there that are available to us. And without a doubt, they have skill sets that I don't have that we can all draw on and support each other with.
Yeah, that's just awesome learning. And the beauty of that too is when you're in a coaching role, you need coaches yourself, of course, but you need to connect with people that are going to grow you as well. So, and it's really tricky situation as to who you can rely on and who you can get feedback from when you need it. Mm. And so it's really lovely to have that peer group as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's that feeling, the coming back to that sense of isolation, that martyr mentality where we have to do everything and be everything. We don't. And, you know, that there are other people out there doing what you want to be doing and have probably already had the idea that you think you're the only one having, and just be okay with that. And rather than be threatened by it, embrace it and seek from them, you know, what can you learn from that person? If someone's already done it, awesome. It takes some of the load off you and having to do, you know, sort of reinventing the wheel scenario, you know, that you can rely on other people and reach out and form relationships and friendships with these people that are doing the thing that you want to do and learn from them.
Mm, totally agree. So if we're looking at some takeaway points, Tanya, what would you want to share that makes sure that the ladies listening or the people listening, I know that there's some gentlemen that do listen to the podcast as well. Mm. I usually say it's either for women or really smart men. So
welcome all the men, smart ones.
Absolutely. Because they're very clever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said it so many times, but just to really be aware of the things in your life that you're not aligned with, you know, and if it's not bringing you joy and it's causing a lot of disruption to your peace of mind, it's either there to teach you something or it's there to let go. And it's our responsibility to really tap into that and understand, is this something that's in front of me and is causing so much discomfort because I have something to learn here? Or is it actually not aligned with my passions and my purpose and my why? And do I need to let that go? And I think when we're brave enough to eliminate the things that are not aligned, because it's really hard. It's really hard and really scary. But when you're brave enough to eliminate those things, you are creating an energetic and physical space for good things to come in.
Mm, no, totally.
That's probably my biggest one, because it's the thing that I've learned the most. And that for me, that has also meant like losing friends. And, you know, ending relationships and ending friendships. But what I noticed in the process of doing that is that other people that have helped to continue raise my vibration and continue to raise me up have come in when I've gotten rid of the things that weren't serving me. I think that, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on for you, no matter how wonderful and positive things are going in your life, life is going to happen. And the adverse situations are going to come in and sort of sweep us off our feet. And we have a choice about how we respond to that. You know, a really clear example for me, just a couple of weeks ago, I had just launched my book, my children's book. And at the same time that I was having these overwhelming highs from launching my book, a friend committed suicide. And so it was this significant difference in this overwhelming elation, in celebration, and this deep, 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 deep sadness. And I couldn't change the fact that that had happened to him, but I just allowed myself to be where I was in any given moment, either in the joy or in the sadness, and just accept that that's what was going on for me, and that I couldn't just be purely joyful because something really tragic had happened. And I think my mindfulness and gratitude and acceptance have been really important to help me sort of create this really beautiful foundation and keep coming back to this sense of joy and peacefulness and ease and contentment and soul fulfillment while life continues to happen around us.
And it does, obviously. Yeah. Mm. And a third point.
I think that we need to take responsibility for ourselves, and that it's nobody else's fault. You know, I was really good at being a victim and blaming. It was always somebody else's fault. And when I stopped carrying that story, because it just gets boring, and we are fully responsible for ourselves. And I think when things happen and we feel like we want to blame, it's just taking an opportunity to sit down and question why. Why is it that I don't want to take responsibility for this? And sometimes it's really challenging. But, you know, like I was saying before, if life's happening, and sometimes we are, especially in the challenging situations, I really believe that we are having the experiences that we need to have to get to the thing that we want. And so rather than feeling like, you know, that somebody else put this in front of me to hurt or ruin or disrupt my flow, rather than looking at those experiences like an opportunity to get to grow and to step up and to step through so that we can continue to align with the things that we want and manifest the things that we want, that every experience is bringing us closer to those things, whether they're good or bad. We can label them however we want, but just take responsibility and take ownership and be accepting of those things and go into those experiences with a sense of inquisition. You know, I kind of, when sort of challenging things happen, I kind of go, oh, what's going to happen after this has passed? more the sense of excitement rather than like, oh my God, this thing is dragging me down. I just go into it with sort of like a bullet again and go, okay, I'm ready. I'm here. I've asked for this to be here. What's going to happen on the other side of this? And sort of a bit like tramping through the forest and, you know, getting out to the beautiful ocean at the end, you know.
Yes, and sometimes it's hard to see the ocean, but
of course,
you eventually get there. I know I was in a situation recently where I was still working in a part-time role and really needed to move 100% into my business. I'd been doing it part-time for 10 years, but sort of working full-time in it as well. And then someone came into the workplace that convinced me that there was a great opportunity that I needed to leave.
Yes.
And it was at the time, it was just distressing.
Yes.
But, you know, I started going, I really get this. And, you know, the day after I left, I really got it. Totally. It was just such a different experience.
And I feel like sometimes when we're not willing to make those decisions and we're not willing to take responsibility, someone else is going to make the decision for us. And so for me, when a challenge comes up, I basically say to myself, you need to make the choice. This is your decision. You brought this experience into your life. Deal with it. Because if you don't, someone's going to make a change in a way that you will or will not like. And so it's coming back to that sense of control and taking control of my decisions and my life and responding rather than having to react.
Yes, and sometimes if you don't pay attention, the whack around the head gets harder and harder, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So if you've talked about your retreats, Tanya, how do people find out about it?
So through my website, which is www.tanyasava.com, it's TanyaSavva. I'm sure you'll have all that up there anyway. They're called the Rest and Reset Retreat, and you can subscribe there. I'm looking at venues and dates for 2019 now. So, you know, the emails will be coming out soon in relation to the first one, aiming for around March next year. So they are specifically for mothers who have children with special needs. I am available. Like I actually run retreats for a foster care agency specifically. I'm running one in November. So they've actually reached out to me. So I basically contract my services. So, you know, if you're out there and you're interested in having a retreat that's not necessarily specifically for mums with special needs, but just as a weekend of sort of soul fulfillment and nourishment and self-care, then yeah, jump on there and you can contact me via my website or subscribe.
You're based in Sydney, Australia, so the retreats tend to be run out of Sydney?
Yeah, they've been in New South Wales, Hunter Valley, and just south of Sydney at Stanwell Park. But I am looking at taking one into Brisbane, around Brisbane, sort of Gold Coast next year, and hopefully Melbourne as well. So, yeah. Just keep your eye out there.
Yeah. But most of the because I'm sure there's a need anywhere you're going with that.
Yeah, I actually had a special needs mum message me the other day saying, when you're ready, I've got 10 women who want to come to your retreat, book it in on the Gold Coast. I was like, okay, awesome, fantastic. Great, thank you.
And there's so many beautiful places to
so many.
Stay around there as well. So yeah. Mount Dambereen.
Yes. Yeah,
just awesome.
Gorgeous.
So, no, wonderful. Look, anything else that you want to add before we wrap up here?
I would love all of your incredible listeners to go and buy my children's book.
Of course, we've talked about that.
Beautiful yeah. children's book about my daughter. So we took a six-month road trip in 2016, and I wrote this story about Mackenzie's adventures and all the things that she saw, and I say that in inverted commas because she can't see. So the illustrations are just incredible. I'm so grateful for my incredible illustrator. Got my launch this Sunday in this beautiful cafe in Sydney, and just really excited and looking forward to the celebration of bringing this book into the world. So The Adventures of Kenzie Moo is available now, and I'd just love for it to spark a lot of beautiful inquisition and questioning in your children, asking so many wonderful questions about what can she see, and how does she have fun when she can't see, and how could you enjoy an adventure like that when you have these challenges? But sort of really aligned with my business, which is fascinating.
It sounds so inspiring, the book. And that's available online at your website as well?
Yeah, on my website. We will have an Amazon version coming out soon. We're just waiting to set the date for that. So it's available on my website. You can buy it.
And that's Tanya Sava. It's Tanya, TanyaSavva.com. So if anyone's looking to go there and have a look at the book, that's exciting. And the launch is on the 21st of October. The people listening to this podcast, it'll be after that date. So we know the book's launched and it's available.
It is. I have many, many, many beautifully wrapped books sitting on my bedroom floor that are getting out into the world this week.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure that they will be very, very popular. Look, I really do thank you for sharing that. It's a very special journey that you've been on with your Mackenzie, and, you know, learning as you have, and now that you're able to give back to the community. Thank you for sharing that, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me, Janine. It's been a pleasure.
Most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. That was Tanya Sava with me this morning. And you can follow her up and find more information about her and order the book at tanyasava.com. That we'll be back next fortnight with another episode. And in the meantime, you know, enjoy what you're doing, take responsibility for what's happening in your life, and just have an amazing, successful business. And if you need to find out more about me too, you can find that on JanineVosper.com. But I think most of you who have been listening for a while know that. And those welcome to the people that are on for the first time. It has been so worthwhile this morning. I've just enjoyed it. So thank you for Tanya again, and thank you for the listeners. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.